verse about the church comes from Matthew 16, 18, where we hear Jesus say, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Part of our future is seen in this verse. We are part of Christ's church, and as such, we will prevail. What that looks like for the future of Faith Wesleyan Church is yet to be seen. Prevail means to win against opposition or to be successful after a prolonged struggle. This verse is telling us that the Church Universal will be victorious after an ongoing conflict with dark forces. But take a deep breath. We aren't to the prevail part yet, maybe not even close. In order to win, we must engage in the spiritual battle set before us. There is no such thing as sitting this one out. There is no such thing as saying, "We're Switzerland." Switzerland has the oldest policy of military neutrality in the world. It has not participated in a foreign war since its neutrality was established by the Treaty of Paris in 1850. So basically, to say we're Switzerland means we're not going to pick sides. In the realm of the spiritual, to not pick sides is to pick sides, and usually when you don't pick sides, you end up on the wrong side. The spiritual realm is a battle zone that affects every human on this earth. From the minute you're born to the minute you die, you're in the fight. Most people in the United States love to talk about guardian angels, or what we might call good spiritual forces. But they don't want to hear about demons or dark spiritual forces. But other countries around this world know good and well that dark spiritual forces exist. The spirit world is here, whether or not you want to believe it. We can take heart, though, because we know who wins in the end. Jesus wins, according to Hebrews 2:14. Jesus will destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. But for a season, and for his purposes, God will allow the devil to prowl around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Until Christ defeats evil, Christians and churches are on the front lines of the battle. There is a smell of smoke, sweat, and blood. It hangs in the air. As a church, we can equip ourselves by putting on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Sadly, many churches today have left their armor hanging in the closet. Some of them are waving the Swiss flag, leaving their members open to attacks from the enemy. Fortunately, our church isn't Switzerland, because why? Because we're a donkey church, that's why. And donkeys are not neutral. They always know whose side they're on. Donkeys historically have been used during wars. During World War I, donkeys were routinely used to make the lives of the soldiers better and easier. Donkeys could be loaded with at least 3 times their body weight. So donkeys were used to carry food, supplies, clothing, pots, pans, water, all under the cover of darkness with bullets whizzing over their heads. Compared to horses, donkeys were better for this because the bullets did not faze them very much. Like war donkeys, donkey churches bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Pound for pound, donkey churches are able to bear more burdens while staying on their feet, steadily moving forward, while attacks from the enemy whiz over their heads. Battle donkeys were used to transport the wounded. Large groups of donkeys sporting Red Cross headbands were always ready to go. Donkey churches rescue the perishing. Most war donkeys were of the Egyptian breed, known for their gentle nature. Donkey churches let their gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Even though we are in a hot war, we still must be gentle and loving to the people who are caught up in it. In the Bible, the horse is usually used as a symbol of war. And in the Bible, the donkey is usually used as a symbol of peace. That's why you don't read about the four donkey men of the apocalypse in Revelation. Even though we are definitely in a time of spiritual war, we are also to be messengers of peace. Many veterans of World War I talked about how donkeys kicked their enemies with purpose and accuracy. In the Bible, we see Jesus kicking his enemy with purpose and accuracy too. He used the word of God against his enemy, as seen in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Like Jesus, donkey churches must use the word of God against the enemy. It is our primary weapon. If used correctly, it is highly effective, as Hebrews 4:12 says. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Many soldiers talked about how donkeys were preternaturally wise. They seemed to know where the hazards were and took roundabout ways to avoid them. As a donkey church, we must know where the hazards are. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This church has been a donkey church since we arrived almost 19 years ago. We are stubborn and so far have refused to die. These are qualities that I hope we never, ever lose. There have been times when this church has been considered dead and gone. All that needed to be done is board up the windows, lock the doors, and sell the property. That's what the district superintendent told me when we came that he thought was really going to happen here. He said, "You're going to have to board up the windows and close the doors and sell the property." He wasn't trying to be a party pooper. He was just trying to be realistic. He wanted to give the seven people who were left here a chance to try to survive. About a year after we came, I was sent this book called Legacy Churches. Being sent this book was an attempt to get me to admit that the church was dead and now we should gracefully close the doors. I was super mad about being sent this book because Faith Wesleyan Church is a what? A donkey church, that's what. This donkey church has been what the Bible calls a house of prayer. We are very much like the persistent widow in Luke 18 who drives the unjust judge absolutely nuts. And he goes so crazy that he finally just grants her request. I believe prayer is what has kept us going through thick and thin. What I think makes for the best kind of church is a donkey church, a plain old, stubborn, ordinary donkey church. When it comes down to it, donkey churches win hands down, in my opinion. As we consider the changes we need to make to live on into the future, this is one I don't think we have to make. I think we need to remain a donkey church. However, one of the things that we are in danger of becoming is a mule church. Offspring from donkeys and horses are called mules. Mules are typically infertile. For all you science geeks, the reason they are infertile is because in order for anybody's offspring to be fertile, they have to have an even number of diploid chromosomes. Mules have an uneven number of diploid chromosomes, so they can't reproduce. Mule churches are infertile. They do not reproduce. If a church does not reproduce, it will wither and die. Mules are stubborn just because they can be. When a donkey gets stubborn, there's usually a good reason behind it. But a mule doesn't need a reason. Churches that take after mules are stubborn just for stubbornness' sake. Their motto is, "We've always done it this way, and we'll go to our grave doing it this way." From your lips to God's ears. If we refuse to do something new or different out of stubbornness or attachments to material things, we will be reduced to a mule church. And I hate to say this, we will die. Currently, one of the most important things to have happened in the life of this church happened last week. We were forced to do church in the basement. From what I heard, many of you enjoyed having church in a smaller space, and I did too. There was something happening there, and I wonder if the Holy Spirit was showing us a new thing. Jim's take on it was, that's what was going on, and my take on it was, it's the devil. So Jim's going, it's God. I'm going, it's the devil. So you figure it out. In the end, I would rather not be a mule church. I know I would probably get booed if I suggested we change our name to Donkey Wesleyan Church, but perhaps we could all agree to be a donkey church in spirit. The spirit of a donkey church enables them to endure hardships. They don't hide from problems stemming from property or people issues. The rigors of day in and day out ministry to a lost world must be done without losing heart and energy. Donkey churches are much more efficient with their resources, more durable, and it takes longer to wear them down. Donkey churches are sturdy and cannot be moved off course when started. They aren't skittish, and they navigate easier in treacherous terrain. They survive in a large range of climates, even in a hostile culture. They can run for a long, long time, even if somebody sends them a book telling them to admit they're dead. No offense, but some of you people are donkey people. Stubborn, hard-headed, and that's the way, I like you. I'm stubborn and hard-headed too. You may call me Pastor Donkey if you want to, but you probably better not call me Pastor the Word I'm not 100% sure you should say in the sanctuary unless you're singing What Child Is This? Someone from a horse church was here about 15 years ago. Now, what's a horse church? Horse churches are the big churches in town. They're smoother, they're sleeker, they behave better. You can teach them tricks. They bond quickly. They get a lot of applause and interest. They're big and they're beautiful. They collect more money in their offering plates. And there's not a thing in this world wrong with a horse church. Anyway, this emissary from a Wesleyan horse church came 15 years ago to suggest we sell this property and make tons of money. Or, he said, we could become one of their campus churches. Well, Pastor Donkey didn't like that, and she dug her heels in. I knew the donkey people who attended this church were not about to let this church close or become a campus church. So I put that rude book about dying in the garbage, and I told the representative from the horse church to gallop on home. I was inspired by you donkey people who were not willing to say goodbye to this church, even though the odds were against you, even though you had to accept a clumsy, cocky, firecracker female pastor in order to get the district to agree to keep the doors open. I was so green, I glowed in the dark. Well, I'm a little less green these days, a little less cocky, not much, but a little, but I'm still pretty much a firecracker. You forgave my offenses and overlooked my mistakes because we were in this thing together. We all wanted this church to make it and to survive. It was our mission. You donkey people, and you know who you are the reason we have this church today. We all have you to thank. Those of you who have come after, we have you to thank too, because guess what? You're donkey people too. And we cannot do it without you. It cannot be done without the new donkey people. You, the new people, are the reason we will continue on into the future. All of us together are the reason we will prevail. If Jesus Christ Church is going to come against the gates of hell and come out victorious, he is going to need us donkey churches, us churches that won't go away, that won't bend to cultural pressure to say and do things that are against the Bible. That's us. We're the donkey churches, and Jesus needs us. Can I hear an amen? Or should I say, hee-haw? We're going to celebrate Holy Communion as a church. And as we come to the table, we are all welcome. Every single one of us donkey people that Jesus died for. And he formed this beautiful thing on the life of Peter called the church. Praise God we have it, and praise God we have this thing called Holy Communion.